I was that person that had it all together. I was very consistent. I showed up to my friends, to my family, to my work very consistently. But on the inside, I was just falling apart. You know, if anybody listens to this and feels that cloud, that heaviness, that burden, that you're not alone. We often think that the solutions to our problems are complicated, but they really aren't. Complication comes from the mind. Simplicity comes from the heart. Perfection is that ghost that we've been chasing for what seems like all eternity, and just let the ghost go. And I mean, there's loads of science around this. This isn't wishy-washy, right? We know that the measurement of energy that can be measured scientifically that radiates from the heart outward is significantly more potent than from the head. And the interesting thing, one of the most interesting things that I discovered in this process is that...
Jeanette, thank you so much for being on the Sisterhood Club podcast today. Very excited to get into this conversation, looking at your LinkedIn profile over the last sort of few days and really diving into some of the articles you've written. I think that this is going to be a very insightful conversation for a lot of women who maybe are slightly struggling in their corporate careers right now, maybe experience a little bit of overwhelm, maybe on the verge of burnout. Seems to be a big problem in our society right now. So before we get into the deep depth of conversation that this podcast is going to be about, can you give us a little bit of a background and a story into who you are, where you've come from, and your journey so far?
It's lovely. Absolutely happy to. It's a pleasure to be here and share these conversations because they're so important for us all. They are important conversations. They were for me in the process. So let me talk a little bit about where I've come from. You know, I'm one of those corporate women, right? I spent my life in the corporate world. I aspired to it from a young age, and I did very typically what was normal in that space and worked my way up through the ranks. And I learned some of the very typical norms that most women in my age group and women in obviously ages younger than us as well have developed these skills to cope with being in those spaces. And I had no idea that potentially that they were going to cause me harm in the future. So, I mean, in psychology terms, we call them coping mechanisms, but we didn't really think of them like that. In fact, most people who work in the corporate world don't. So I was very typical of a very much a go-getter professionally. So I found myself finding a fairly easy path to climb my way up through the ranks. So in my early 20s, I was a national HR manager in an organization, and I was, you know, stepping into big shoes and undertaking big things, loved working with people and was very naturally connected in that way. So it felt like a really natural progression. But I was in a world then that was very dominated by men. Now, a lot of people would find that interesting now, looking at the HR world, that thinking that, well, it's dominated a lot by women now. But in those years, it was very much dominated by men. In fact, I often went to conferences and spoke at events and found myself being asked if I was someone's secretary delivering the information that was going to be presented, and I was the presenter. So I developed coping mechanisms just like many, many people do, even all the way to this day in the corporate world. So women are pushing themselves and trying to maintain lifestyles around their family at home, their obligations with children, and obviously trying to develop a successful career that brings out those qualities in them that as a human being really feels purposeful and feels engaging. But for somehow we get lost on the way. And I, like everyone, I got lost on the way. And it was really interesting how I discovered that I got lost in my journey, because I had a great job. I was feeling compelled to do the work that I was doing. I was having success. I was surrounded by people in my life that loved and adored me, and I thought I had it all together. And yet for some reason, the way I describe it, and I describe it in my book that I recently wrote this way, that I had a cloud kind of hanging over my head, and it was this heaviness that was hanging over me. And it didn't matter what I did, I couldn't shake it. And I had absolutely immeasurable amounts of guilt, saying, why could I possibly, how dare I feel this way? I have a great job. I have a great life. I'm healthy. I'm surrounded by people who care about me. And I thought, are you just being incredibly ungrateful to feel this way? This is so wrong to do. So I pushed it back and I suppressed those feelings. And I did what women do, right? I went, I can work this out. I don't need to get any help. I can work this out for myself. This can't be a big deal. So I went down that path of kind of trying to discover it for myself. And so I did a lot of self-evaluation, a lot of self-discovery. I went on and studied lots of different things to help me grow personally. I became a yoga instructor and a meditation instructor, started a yoga studio, did mindfulness coaching, and I went all the way down that path over about 10 years. So I really started to unpack those things in my life, and I realized that I did need help. I couldn't do it on my own. So I started to reach out, you know, as part of that journey to get some help. So, you know, I look back and I think, and I it's a reminder to people, you know, if anybody listens to this and feels that cloud, that heaviness, that burden, that you're not alone, because there are so many women I've met on the way through my journey, and I constantly meet that feel that overwhelm. And you don't have to have suffered what you would class as immense amount of trauma in your life. You don't have to be in a horrible, difficult situation. You can be earning good money and live in a nice house, and it's okay for you to feel that way, that you're entitled to be able to find your way out of that. And there are people who can help. So I think that's a huge part of the conversation that we need to be having, allowing women to feel comfortable about starting those conversations and step away from that guilty feeling of, you know, how dare I be like this? I've got a good life.
Yeah, 100%. And as you were speaking then, I was reflecting on my own journey. And I don't know one person that I've spoken to that hasn't been through something similar. And throughout my late 20s, from the age of about 25, if I'm honest, up until like even when I was probably about 30, 31, I suffered terribly with very, very bad anxiety, almost crippling anxiety, to the point that, you know, I would be on the train and the commute in the morning, and I'd have to get off the train because I literally couldn't catch my breath. And I didn't understand what was happening to me. I didn't understand why I was going through this. And you're right about the guilt, because what made the anxiety far worse to me was that feeling of like, how dare I feel guilty? I've got a great job. I'm earning great money. I just bought my first home at 26, so I was a high achiever in society's lens. On the outside looking in, I was extremely successful. I had it all together. But inside, I just felt this, like you said, this gray cloud. Every morning I woke up, I would just feel this heaviness over me. And it has been a journey over the last 5 years to unpack that and to understand more about me, and like, I guess, making sure that I'm always listening to myself. Because what I would do is I would, you know, because I didn't want to feel that way, I'd bury it, I'd go out, I'd keep busy, I'd have a glass of wine, I'd meet friends, and I didn't want to actually sit with those feelings. I didn't want to go within to go, why am I feeling this way? Because as soon as you start unpacking that, it's actually quite scary and confronting what can come up. And so much came up for me, so much. But I'd love to go in to now, Jeanette, like, I guess your journey, if you don't mind sharing, like, you know, so you were in this big corporate role, you were a HR manager, lots of pressure in that. When did you sort of realize that, you know, you had to sort of start going on this journey to overcome these emotions and these feelings of guilt? And what has that process been like? And for those people listening to this right now that might be experiencing something similar, what's the first step they can take to start to really overcome these feelings?
I mean, I was a long way progressed on my journey. So that was the HR manager role was the first senior level role that I had undertaken. So I went on and did lots and lots of other things. And I really started to find myself. I went into the consulting space. I've worked in the education space. I worked in so many different spaces. And I think that I kind of ran away. I left a space when it got too hard. And then I went into another space and I left that when it got too hard and I went into another space. So my coping mechanisms were quite specific that I probably potentially learned what was my maximum. And then I learned how to create spaces that I could just live within that. So I went into consulting and I very much worked in contracting and short-term consulting. So I always knew that there was an end to my suffering. No, and it sounds terrible, but, you know, women are incredibly good copers, right? So I applied some pretty fancy coping techniques to go through this. And it wasn't for a very long time. So you'd imagine a 23, 24 hours national HR manager through to now I'm 51. So a lot of water has gone under the bridge between then and now. You know, I went through... In those early stages, I went through an early divorce in my life. So I got married when I was young and I divorced when I was young. You know, it had the unhappiness that was brewing inside me that, as you said, exactly on the outside, I was that person that had it all together. I was very consistent. I showed up to my friends, to my family, to my work very consistently. But on the inside, I was just falling apart. And it just became impossible to keep those pieces together. So I would have been in my mid to late 30s that I really started to feel it falling apart. And in my book, I describe it as I ran out of storage. I was compartmentalizing all that trauma that I was picking up through life. And I was just packing it away. But I'd packed away so much that I kind of ran out of room. I literally had the Fort Knox of trauma that I had accumulated and almost in a magician-like way, sealed it in nice, tidy little boxes and pushed it over to one corner. Now, I quite naively, and in a way, there's part of me that never left, and it is that childlike, curious, you know, full of joy and inspiration to try something new. That person always existed in the background of my life. So I, with curiosity and this really haphazard kind of lackadaisical view, I went, oh, well, you know, so yeah, I've packed up all this stuff, but how hard could it be to unpack it, you know? And I just had the attitude about going gung-ho. So I just kind of dug in really hard and I absolutely slammed and hit an absolute wall. So by the time I was close to 40, I had completely backed myself up against a wall and there was no getting out of it. And so I had incredible amounts of anxiety, incredible amounts of depression that had festered in me for so long and to the extent where it was starting to brim out and I had no ability to control it or hold it back. So I was having those moments like you talk about. I was having moments of absolute anxiety, like panic attack kind of feelings that just came to me. And just by luck, I literally, which I don't necessarily believe in luck, but by chance, I literally came across somebody that basically offered a hand of faith to me. And I was like, yeah, I think maybe I need to do that. So I started on a very long process, which in my book I call it the journey of 427 days. So I went on a massive unpacking spree, and exactly like you said, it's hard. It's, you know, doing the work, I would do it 100 times again on the other side of that volume of unpacking. We do the work forever. There's no perfect place to get to, right? But I would do that hard work again 100 times repetitively. But during the time or the step of making the decision to say, I know it's going to be scary, but I'm going a step forward, that was hugely significant for me. And I think it is potentially for pretty much everyone. And this is why we fight it, and this is why we suppress it, and we distract ourselves with all kinds of things to try to avoid having to go down that path. But, you know, I stepped into it, and I think the first thing I can remember, and I quote this often, I cried an ocean. And I recall that I don't think I'd cried a tear for the vast majority of my life. Like I'd learned to hold in all that trauma right back from my childhood. I was a very quiet and kind of sensitive child. Like I outwardly could speak and engage, but on the inside I was very sensitive. And so I took a lot to heart. And I just cried an ocean. I literally, and the cathartic feeling of the release of that was phenomenal. So in the sessions that I did and I went into, I remember he would give me a whole bunch of notes to read and things to think about until the next session and start to go through. And I'd read the notes and I just cried so heavily that I could barely breathe. I was gasping for air and choking. And then the second time I'd read them the next day, and then, you know, I'd cry a little bit. And often I'd be sitting on the train going to work and I'm reading them the next day and I'm still crying sitting on the train. I imagine people must have looked and thought, oh God, I hope that woman's okay, you know. And then the day after I'd read it again, I was like, okay, no, I think I can do this. So I progressively worked through that process bit by bit and felt that burden slowly, you know, ease away. But I don't think that I could have done it without someone reaching out and just offering that level of support to me. And I feel very compelled that when I see people, women in those situations, that I don't care if, you know, if women can afford to pay for services or if women can't, like there's nothing that I won't do to help a woman that I can see in a situation like that to get that support that she needs so she can take that next step, because I know what looks like on the other side. And you know, we have so much to offer the world and so much that we need to do to really create the space in the world that women have the power to do. We are natural born healers. And the world needs our healing. And while we're sitting in these difficult spaces, we're not offering that. So it's incredibly important work. And I'm so grateful that I got an opportunity to do it for myself. And hence why, obviously, I wrote a book so I could share some of the experience and some of the lessons that I learned and the skills I learned to adapt to be able to do that ongoing. Mm. So, yeah, it's just amazing.
Thank you so much for just sharing that. And I think that, like, you know, it's conversations that I guess aren't have very publicly, you know, sort of no one wants to, I guess, you know, talk about these sort of things. But I think you can talk about these things when you've overcome it. I think when you're still going through it, that's when it's hard. That's when it's challenging. That's when you're sort of going through the journey, unpacking lots of things. I think that's private. That's your time. That's your time to figure everything out. But once you've come out the other side and you've dealt with those demons, you've dealt with those traumas, whether they're, you know, big traumas or micro traumas that are just like, you know, death by a thousand cuts kind of thing, you know. So it's like, but we all go through something. And I think that the one thing that I have learned through the last, like, I'll be 35 in a month's time. And I think the last sort of 35 years for me has been, you know, realizing that, you know, to get to the next level, I need to understand who I am at this level and unpack things. And you can't move forward into the future that you want to create as the same version of you. You've got to really kind of connect to, okay, who do I want to be and where am I going and what's the vision for my future? But if you stay where you are with those same thoughts, those same feelings. You know, people always say to me, like, you know, oh, you know, why aren't I achieving my goals? And it's like, well, you know, what are you doing every single day? Like, what's the first thought that you think in the morning? Because if you're thinking about all of your problems and you're, you know, that's just what you're connecting to. That's what you're going to be constantly keep on drawing in, because you're just constantly in that sort of like negative thought pattern. And guess what? If you stay there, nothing good is going to happen in your life, because you're not going to be able to think greater than how you feel, right? And I think in my own journey, for me, it was all about getting beyond myself, getting beyond those feelings of anxiety and connecting to something that felt so compelling and exciting that it was pushing me forward. And in that process, I had to grow. I had to almost become somebody new. I had to upskill. I had to learn how to deal with these emotions and these feelings that I was experiencing. But I think that it's just so much power in that. But yeah, we don't want to unpack it. We don't want to deal with it. But unfortunately, I believe from doing my own work and understanding a lot more about myself is that you can't move forward in life until you have just sort of accepted the past is the past, you know, don't live there anymore. Don't keep repeating the same thoughts and patterns, but there does need to be a little bit of a period of like, okay, why am I in this position? A bit of responsibility, and where do I want to go? So look, I'm always trying to like get like the tactics and the steps and just real tangible things for our audience. And, you know, I know that there's a lot of women that I've spoken to recently, you know, who are feeling that maybe they're not getting the promotions that they're after, and not they've sort of felt like they've hit this little bit of a glass ceiling in their careers, and they're maybe working in very male dominated environments, and they're seeing their co-workers get promoted, but unfortunately they're not. So I'd love to really dive into now, from your like corporate experience, from that HR perspective, like, what do you think that, you know, what can we do as women to make sure that we are progressing in our careers if that's what we want, we are getting these same opportunities, and how have you gone about that in your own career to really keep on progressing and, you know, making sure that you're getting the promotions, the pay rises, and the career that you deserve?
It's incredibly interesting, because when I, you know, to look back and reflect, it became really easy for me to understand why I was suffering, and it was self-induced. Mm-hmm. It's, we are our own worst enemies. And, you know, when you talk about understanding who you are and getting to know yourself better, so then you can create a new version of yourself, so then you can step forward as that new version of you to create something different, that, you know, it often feels like we have to get out of our own way. We are our own roadblock. And the interesting thing, one of the most interesting things that I discovered in this process is that, you know, and it sounds like a buzzword, and I know it's used and taking it out of context so often, is authenticity. You know, I worked in a male-dominated space, and I learned to show up at work as a man. So I was aggressive, and I was very, you know, forthright, and I became a person who very much stood in my masculine energy rather than my feminine energy. And then as I started to unpack that's not who I am. That's not who I chose to be when I was at home. So I had to constantly do this turn on, turn off, turn on. So in work, we create this illusion that we need to show up as something else. And unfortunately, because we're kind of three generations in now, of teaching women to do this, right? We've created and repeated that desire that this is how you show up at work. And I started playing around with it, and I started testing it. And I think this is some of the best work that you can do. Spend some time, like you say, even if you have to kind of extract yourself a little bit from society and what you're doing, get some good allies in your life and spend some key time really looking in and starting to say, okay, where am I at? How am I here? Where do I want to be? And then you work out and formulate the plan to get there. And part of that to get there involves that testing process of saying, okay, if this is how I'd really like to be, I'm going to go to work and I'm going to test what this looks like. So I discovered that as a woman, when you show up to work in your feminine energy as a woman, I gained so much more respect from all my peers. And men started listening to me. Men started engaging with me in my workplace so much better. They stopped being roadblocks to me because there was something that was happening in that energetic exchange where they were seeing that I was bringing value. So unfortunately, women have filled these holes of the masculinity, feeling that A, that's what they had to become to be able to be successful, to compete with men in the workplace. But what they didn't realize, and I didn't realize, is that I could be successful competing as me. I didn't have to try to think that I had to level up and compete with men, that I had a whole set of capabilities that were mine and that were feminine and uniquely my own. And when I started to step into that and started to play around with that and feel comfortable, even in the smallest amounts, so just one characteristic, one quality, I started to get some confidence in that and say, wow, this really does work. So then I tried another one, and then I tried another one. And the person that you see speaking to me here and now is the person that shows up in my relationships, is the person that shows up with my friends, is the person that shows up in my professional life, is the person that stands on stage and gives presentations and, you know, speaks at small events. It's the same person. And it feels so good to know that I can be me wherever I go. That I think that was the biggest lifting of that cloud when I finally realized that I could just be me everywhere. I didn't have to say, oh, I'm going to my friends, I have to be this person here. I'm going to see my parents, I have to be this person here. I'm going to, you know, study at university, I have to be this person. I'm going to work, I have to be this person. I just suddenly realized that I could just show up as the same person everywhere. And I didn't just start to notice the difference. When I was doing this, people at work, at my work, were saying to me, what are you doing? Because you are different. Something has happened and I want to know what you're doing because I want to know how to do it as well. So it was interesting how that was having that kind of impact on people around me. So people were recognizing that I had changed my tact, and it only takes little tiny steps to start with where you build that confidence and then you find the courage to take the next step. And as you would know for yourself, that those steps get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then you're prepared to take on the big things. Because in the end, our potential is only limited by what we dictate by ourselves, and that is ultimate accountability. So if I don't achieve what I want to achieve in life, and look, let's face it, success is different every day for every person, right? So success isn't, I want to have this career for some people. Success at some points in your life is getting out of bed and getting your children to school that day. That is success. It varies, and we have to accept that we don't need balance in our life. We need to find harmony where we each day as we get up, it's a restart for the next day to continue. And accept where you are in that space and just say, I'm going to show up as the best version of me today. And tomorrow you start again and you show up as the best version of you tomorrow, every day, instead of trying to show up as the greatest all-empowering version of yourself in every minute it's not necessary, and it's such a ridiculous burden that women have placed upon themselves. And we need to not only help ourselves lift it, but give other women permission to do the same. You know, perfection is that ghost that we've been chasing for what seems like all eternity, and just let the ghost go, you know.
It's such great advice. And I think that, you know, for me, like I'm sort of smiling because that authenticity is when somebody is really authentic, they straight away come across as more confident. They straight away come across as more like you just want to be around them because they just know who they are and they've accepted who they are. They love who they are. They like who they are. They know their strengths. They know their weaknesses. Again, that's a journey, right? Because unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that don't like who they are, that focus on all of the all of their, you know, things that they don't like about themselves. And it's so toxic. But I think part of the problem that why we can't maybe accept who we are, and you mentioned the word success, and success looks different to everybody. And I've always said it, define what success means to you. The problem is that, you know, for some women right now, success, like you say, might be waking up and getting their kids to school on time, right? That's success to them. Amazing. The issue is that instead of looking over the neighbor's fence, we now can jump online and look at, you know, a million people's fences, and we can go, oh my goodness, look at the way those people are dressed, or oh, look at the house that they've just bought, or look at the holidays that they're taking their kids on. And we compare, and then our level of success is compared with someone else's level of success. And then we never feel good enough. And then we are afraid to feel our authentic self because we don't feel worthy or we don't feel enough. And I think that this is the constant battle, because over the years, I have got really clear on what success does mean to me. And it means something very different to me at this present moment than perhaps what it did 5 years ago when I was trying to climb the corporate ladder or I started my first business. Today, success means honestly waking up feeling good, energized, excited for the day. It's showing up as, you know, my best self, doing my best at work, and just getting it to the end of the day and going, today was a great day. How did I shop today? I did everything I wanted to do. I was a good person. I felt great all day. I had great energy. I got some movement in, and I feel like I've progressed in some way in my life. That's success to me. It's not, you know, used to be, you know, this grand goal of owning a certain home, a certain car, having certain luxury items. But again, I don't think that was truly what success was back then, but it was kind of what, like, I was being shown every single day on Instagram, on social media. So I think that, yeah, it's a really powerful, you know, sort of process to sit down and really get clear on what is important to you? What are your values? What does a successful life look like? You know, what do you want personally out of life? And everyone's version of success is different. But unfortunately, I think we're just painted by there's only one version of success, and it's this. So how have you gone about defining your version of success? And what advice would you have for people that maybe feel like they are sort of stuck on the treadmill of life, constantly climbing the next mountain or comparing themselves to other people and never feeling a sense of fulfillment? The thing is, a Tony Robbins quote that says, success without fulfillment is the ultimate failure. And I would have to agree with that, because I have been there, got the t-shirt, got to a goal to realize, oh, well, this doesn't feel great. So yeah, I think it's really important to define what success means to you. So how have you gone about that?
I completely agree, because I've gotten to positions where I've achieved something and said to myself, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Is that all there is? So for me, success is, and for me to be able to understand even what success was, I had to stop thinking about what success was, and I had to come down into my heart and start feeling what success was. And this is the problem, right? In the corporate world, it can be very intellectual. And then, I mean, I jumped in between the corporate world and my own businesses and education. So I was bound very heavily in that education, that intellectual space. And so we intellectualize everything, okay? You imagine women showing up in the workplace as trying to compete with men, thinking they need to become men. Men are very practical thinkers, and women are more centered around their emotions, right? There's good reason. This is how we create balance in the world, right? We have practicality and emotions. So we need both to maintain that balance, right? So I had to get out of my practical, planned, everything scheduled and everything could be achieved. So success was about scheduling the next 10 steps in your life about what to do. And when I started to drop that down and really started to come into that space around my heart and start to feel what success was, well, the things that I thought were success, like peering over the fence of others, you know, in social media and seeing what other people's successes were, I was like, that doesn't make me feel good. That doesn't make me feel good. And so this was the repetitive thing that I was doing. So when I was looking and doing comparisons, I was saying, but I have that, it doesn't make me feel good. So I started to decide very clearly one day that I was going to flip that process. And instead of comparing myself with others, I said, okay, if you need a comparison, Jeanette, the only comparison you need is compare yourself with yesterday's Jeanette. If you want to judge yourself whether you've achieved success, compare yourself with yesterday's Jeanette. That's it. And then it's fair because then you're comparing apples with apples, right? Because we know, right, that in social media, it's all very glazed over and very lovely and, you know, the perfect shots and the perfect places and the perfect holidays. And life isn't like that. Life's full of ups and downs and trials and tribulations. We know that when we feel it in our heart. So we could look at people who are achieving these great things and think, oh, you know, if only I could have that. But then if we feel and we think, oh, but I don't, that wouldn't really do anything for me. So, you know, the thing that I've talked about with many, many clients and with friends and obviously with myself is about getting into that heart space. So when I feel that judgment rising, judgment is all what comes from in here. And, you know, there's a lot out in the world that is drawing us to be like that, to judge and to compare. And social and cultural conditioning, you know, has us on this bandwagon of judgment and comparison. And it takes effort to kind of extrapolate yourself back and say, hang on a minute, hang on, you know, this isn't necessary. So I started a very simple practice very early on, and I call it a reflective practice. So at night, at the end of the day, I would reflect on my day and say, what did I achieve? How did I move? Very simple questions. What movement did I do today? What did I achieve that I was proud of? What obstacles may have come up? What did I overcome? And what am I grateful for that day? So I'd have a really simple, short moment where I spent 5 minutes and just covered those key topics. I would go to sleep blissfully because I'd kind of reflected and I'd set the same with sleep really well. And then when I woke up in the morning, okay, how do I want to move today? What is my focus going to be for today? What am I grateful for? And step out into the world in that space. So it's kind of like waking up in your head and going to sleep in your head, or going to sleep in your heart and waking up in your heart. And I think when you can pull that down and get into that space, that's where the power really comes from women, is because we have this immense power for empathy and for understanding. And when we start to talk to ourselves in the same way that we believe that we should be speaking to other women, then beautiful things start really unfolding in that space. And it's about developing those practices that work. And look, there are millions of practices available. There are so many people that have so many experiences in doing this. It's about not just doing one person's practice, but listening to how different people have applied and just say to yourself, oh, that feels like that could really work for me. Not, I think it could work. And it's all about language. When we say, I think I could do it, we know we're in our head. When we say, I feel like that could work for me, we know we're in our heart. So all about listening to the way you're speaking to yourself and the way you're having conversations with others, taking that advice upon yourself and then feeling into it and stepping forward in that way. And I found incredible success in those small wins through that process. And gratitude practices are simple. They take such a small amount of time. You can do them with your children, you can do them with your partner, and you can do them individually. And it's a great thing to learn. And like you said, what you focus on, you draw more to you, right? So if you get to the end of the day and you say, that was the worst day of my life, oh my God, I never want to repeat that day again. I could kill my boss. I hate my job. If you focus on that, you go to sleep with all that through your mind. If you say, that was a difficult day, but guess what? I'm still here and I survived it. What did I learn from it? What were the valuable things that I took from it? How am I grateful for? It could be for the tiniest things. I'm grateful that I was able to step through that and I could come home and I could spend 5 minutes and I could relax and come back to me. I'm grateful for that. And those being able to step forward in those simple ways, we often think that the solutions to our problems are complicated, but they really aren't. Complication comes from the mind. Simplicity comes from the heart, right? So if we break it down to things that are simple, they are much easier to do and you know that you're in this space. But we only complicate it up here in the headspace.
100%. It's that constant awareness, isn't it? Of like, you know, our mind is always, you know, it's designed to keep us alive. It's not designed to help us thrive, right? Like your brain is always going to be looking for danger. It's always going to be looking for things. It's trying to keep you safe. And as soon as you realize that, you go, you know, happiness and fulfillment and joy and all those good things, like, you know, that is up to you. That is really like a daily progress. And I think when it comes to self-discovery, personal development, you know, all of those things, they're not something that you just do, oh, now I feel really good and stop. These are daily practices, like the whole gratitude piece, right? That is something I began many years ago now, probably about 5 years ago now, just instead of focusing on the worst case scenario that was definitely contributing to my anxiety and all the things that I didn't want to have happen, I started focusing on, okay, just take a deep breath. Where you are right now, what do you have around you that you could be grateful for? And even if I felt like there's nothing I could be grateful for right now, there is always something. There is always something. And I think that perspective is also really, really key. And whenever I'm sort of looking to make a big or biggest decision in my life, I'll sit down and I go, worst case, best case, likely case. And that's really helped me throughout my life when I'm sort of, you know, whether it's to take a job offer, whether it's to start a business, whether it's to move house, whether it's to do anything, it could be big or small. Those three questions, best case, worst case, likely case, has been so incredible to implement into my life, because I had a habit in the past of focusing on all the things that could go wrong instead of focusing on all the things that could go right. And I was actually like paralyzing myself with fear. But that whole gratitude piece for me has been an absolute game changer. And I think that the one thing that I always used to struggle with a bit with gratitude is that, like, well, if I'm really grateful for where I am I going to lose my ambition? Am I going to lose my hunger? Am I going to lose my drive? What I've, I guess, come to realize is that when I am in that state of gratitude, I feel more energy. I am a nicer person to be around. I just have, yeah, just more clarity in my thoughts as well. And so when I feel that way, I'm able to perform better at work. I'm nicer to my team. And just good things start to happen. Whereas before, when I was like driven and hungry and all that, in that hustle and grind mindset, what was really interesting is that I was trying to force outcomes and I was really trying to like just manipulate and control and very just like toxic energies, I guess. So for me, that balance between being super grateful for where I am and tapping into that every day and still having a vision for what I want in my future has been such a powerful practice and really helped me stay just feeling really good every day, knowing where I want to go, but not coming from this place of like fear, grind, hustle, which I think unfortunately a lot of people are going through right now. And, you know, some people might be listening to this right now. Like we are, well, some people say we're in a recession. Other people say we're heading into one. You know, there might be someone listening to this right now saying, well, this is great, Jeanette and Georgie. You're talking about gratitude. You're talking about, you know, feeling into your heart. I'm panicking, thinking, can I pay my mortgage next month? Can I pay my childcare bills? What would you say to those women or men that are in those positions right now that are just feeling so stressed, so under pressure, they're just not in a good place and they couldn't even imagine sitting down and doing a gratitude practice because they're like, quite honestly, I've got nothing to be grateful for right now. I'm in pure blown survival. Any advice for those people?
And those people are exhausted.
Yeah.
You know, because living in that space of fear is exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting because the platform of the basis of anything in life, it starts with understanding the difference between emotions and feelings, right? And this is something that I've written quite a bit about recently. And I particularly wrote a blog about choosing love over fear. So we live in a fear-driven society. Now, there's lots of reason why we live like that. It is, as you mentioned earlier, we have a brain that likes to keep us safe, and we have some hang-ups from past where we really needed to be aware of our surroundings to stay safe, right? So when we're in those difficult situations, I've been there. I've spent half of my adult life single. I know what it feels like to be the only person you can rely on to pay your bills as a source of income. So I totally experienced all those things. And I was driven a lot of the time in my career by getting the money I needed to get to pay my bills. I couldn't see outside and beyond it. But what you can do in that situation is you can decide that you're going to change the platform, all right? So if you think about it from a technology basis, because I've done a bit of work in the transformation technology environment, right? That you kind of have a platform, that's the base foundation that you need, right? And then you have applications and so forth that you would apply, right? So the platform for us is you can say to yourself, I know I'm in a difficult situation, but if I choose only one of two emotions, right? So there's only two emotions we feel. And people think, oh, that's ridiculous. I feel tons of emotions. But we've been duped and we've been tricked into thinking that feelings and emotions are the same. We have thousands of different feelings, but they are built on the platform of only two emotions, right? So when we feel trapped and when we feel overwhelmed, we're in the emotion of fear. And every feeling that we have on top of that is driven by fear. So a blogger wrote recently, as I said, I talk about it that the emotion is the fuel you put in your car, right? And the driving is the action. So the feelings you have are the action-orientated things. So angry is an action, okay? Despair, action. Right? But you need to set the platform so you can go within and say, I know that my life is difficult now, and I know that I have these things in my face, and I know that these things are important. Because if you're looking after your family, these are the things that are facing you every day to be doing, trying to pay your bills. But if you set the platform right and say, I'm going to try, and don't overforce yourself and cut yourself some slack when you get it wrong. I'm going to try to come from a space of love instead of a space of fear. Fear breeds scarcity. scarcity mindsets, create spaces where you chase money. Now, when I set that platform and said, I'm going to come from a place of love, I'm going to be forgiving, more forgiving towards myself, more forgiving towards others, more accepting. Well, guess what? Because I wasn't chasing money, opportunities were coming to me because I wasn't chasing them down. And the right opportunities, instead of just going into the opportunities that the first one came up because you were just focused on it. Now, I did a lot of work where I changed jobs constantly. So I was doing short-term consulting work and I was doing contracting. And a lot of people used to say to me, I don't know how you can just leave a job and not know when the next job is coming. That's because I lived a life based on the platform of love and not fear. So when I came to life from the basis of love, there will be another job. There was another job. Money will come. There was money. But when we get trapped in fear, so doing the work to uncover what actually traps you in fear rather than the result of fear, because when we talk about, but I need to pay my bills, that's like the band-aid that's sitting on top of the pain underneath. But it's about going to the layer below. And it's like in business, you know, we talk about it for getting to the root cause of the problem. And fear and love are the root cause of the problem. Reset that, or even start to work to reset that, and things start changing in your space around you and you start to get confidence. It's the baby step approach, right? It's don't solve the world's problems all at once. I know women like to just attack every problem that exists and have to run at it with absolute mammoth effort, but we can solve just small problems individually and just say, okay, no, I'm going to come from this from a place of love. I'm having difficulty. Come from a place of love. Yes, Jeanette. You know, you can even say to yourself, I used to say, yes, Jeanette, I understand that you're doing it hard today. You can have those moments of self-conversation and recognizing and appreciating. We do that to our girlfriends all the time. We say, I understand that you're having a difficult time. How can I help? But do we say to ourselves, I understand you're having a difficult time. How can I help? No, we never do. We just expect that we have to just keep on soldiering on. So I would say to people in those circumstances, instead of trying to attack all the problems that are laying out in the field, look at the field, the baseline of where you're at, and say, am I coming to my life every day from a place of love, or am I coming from a place of fear? Fear comes from in here, love comes from here. And I mean, there's loads of science around this. This isn't wishy-washy, right? We know that the measurement of energy that can be measured scientifically that radiates from the heart outward is significantly more potent than from the head outward, and that radiates up from the heart to the head as opposed to the head to the heart. So the heart tells the head more about what to do than the head tells the heart, which is confusing, right? Because, yeah, you know, out there, what they're telling us the exact opposite. So it's about reversing that understanding. So do some learning and cut yourself some slack and say, it's okay, I'm in this hard place. But like you said earlier, you know how you said, this is where I am, this is where I want to be. Don't just focus in the being, but accept where you are and take the steps to go there progressively and get some help. There are plenty of people who are out there who want to help us, whether they be our friends, our family, or whether they be professionals. There's loads of people available.
Correct. And what you just said there as well about not being all wishy-washy and woo-woo, anyone who really wants to understand all the science, I'm sure you have been very aware of his work, Jeanette, as well, but Dr. Joe Dispenza, he has got all of the research on this. I do his meditation every single morning, and I've done this now for, God, I've meditated for the last sort of 5 years consistently now, but probably about a year ago, I started doing his meditations, and that helps because every single morning I'm connecting to a vision of my future. I'm tuning in. I'm focusing on what I want to have happen. Of course, I'm taking the action every single day, right? I'm not reading the fact that mortgage rates are going to go up and going, oh, never mind, mine won't. Of course it will. I'm ringing up my mortgage broker and saying, hey, we need to have a conversation because this is coming and I want to be prepared. But because I'm not coming from a place of fear, I'm coming from a place of abundance and love, like you said, and I just trust that everything's going to be okay. And I also think, again, this is where this perspective comes into place, because this is a chapter. It's not our story. I think what people tend to do is they are in a situation and they go, this is it now. This is me. And the fact is that, you know, life's, like you said, is there's ups, there's downs, and these are all part of life's experiences. And if you are struggling right now, you know, you might need to look at your spending. You might have to have a bit of a spending plan. You might just need to take a few little actions, a few little mini steps to maybe sort of just monitor your spending for a bit. But do you know what? What doesn't break you makes you stronger. And I don't think that that's necessarily a harmful thing to do in a lot of people's households, because, you know, I think a lot of people probably will probably look at their spending and go, oh my God, we're spending, you know, X amount on coffees and avocado smash every month. We better dull that down a little bit, right? But again, come from a place of perspective, focus on that future that you want to create. Don't focus on the fear-based emotions. I love that. I love the way you just frame that out so beautifully, of like that platform of like fear or love. And then the emotions are like, you know, you drive the steering wheel. I think that's such a great analogy for people to understand. But do you know, I'm conscious of time. And I mean, I could chat to you literally for hours, because I think we're both very much on the same page with the work that we've done and we're doing. And I really do encourage every single person that's listened to this to go away and look into, you know, the work and do the work and try a meditation and try and write down your gratitude. And just these practices have helped myself so much in my life. And I know, Jeanette, from speaking to you, it's clearly helped you as well. So do the work. Just make it a priority in your life. And I promise you, you will experience a lot more clarity, joy, and calmness, perhaps than what you're experiencing right now. But Jeanette, for those people that want to find out more about you, your work, your coaching, where can I send them? And also, like, who are you sort of like looking to coach? Like, what's the woman that you want to help?
Okay. So if anybody wants to find any of my, I've got loads of free content. So I do a blog, which is called The Art of Mindful Disruption. So if you literally Google The Art of Mindful Disruption, you will easily find it. I post it in all kinds of social media spaces, so they can either find me through my name on social media or The Art of Mindful Disruption. I've got, if you like to listen, I write in Medium. And if you wanted to, I've also got a YouTube channel, which is called The Art of Mindful Disruption. So there's some mindfulness meanders where they can listen to me talking about my experiences and about particular topics. So it's easy for people to connect with me. Now, when it comes to coaching, I don't coach as much as I used to anymore, but I do, obviously, I will selectively coach for people. So if somebody feels quite connected to what I've said and they feel a strong connection that I could help them, I would say to people, reach out to me. I'm not one of those people in social media where I have other people answering my messages. I will message people, and I mentor people in places all over the world, and have had conversations with many different people, both men and women alike. So if you feel connected, you know, just reach out, because I may not be the answer, but I may be able to help point someone in the right direction to how they can start to get some of those answers that they need. But it's incredibly important to really get in and just decide that this is something that you can do for you. And you are valuable, you are important, and what you bring to the world is critical. And there are other women and other men and other children in this space that are desperately waiting for the piece of information that you have. There aren't 8 billion of us on this planet for us to sit individually in our own pain and our own suffering. We're here to support each other, and it's really important that people feel, know, and understand that they are valuable, and that your story that you're holding within you could very well be the thing that makes the difference for someone else. And you may never know, but it's about sharing that experience and helping others to see that through that beautiful ripple effect that we can expand woman to woman. And every woman that grows and expands and takes on this journey for themselves impacts every single person in their life, the people they work with, their families. Like you say, we're better people to be around. We're nicer people to be around, right? We're nicer people to work for. We're nicer people to associate with. So we all have a lot to gain from supporting and helping each other. So in the end, it's just you only have to make one decision, right? And it's the decision that you're going to do this for you, knowing that there's lots of people like you and I that have come through some of those spaces, that we're in this area where we're still growing. We will continue to grow until the day we die. But we're in this space where we can reflect back and say it's worth the trip completely.
Agree. Definitely agree with that one. Jeanette, thank you so much for your time today. I really hope that everyone that has listened to this has got something from it. And like Jeanette said, do the work. You won't regret it. And, you know, it's a never-ending journey of self-discovery, but it's so worth it. Thank you so much for your time, Jeanette. And I look forward to following and reading many more of your blogs. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you enjoy these episodes, the number one thing you can do to help us grow and keep spreading our mission and message is to hit the subscribe button. And if you have time, give us a quick rating. Appreciate each and every one of you who tune in every week. And we look forward to bringing you many more episodes this year. Take care.